Joining us now, Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, one of our absolute favorites, and still a Trump advisor. He joins us now. Newt, great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, and it is kind of amazing to watch, but I think it's pretty predictable. Trump is a genuine break from the establishment that has run this country for 84 years. They are bitterly opposed to him. They're terrified of what he's going to do. His cabinet is so strong, it's just made it worse because he's bringing in people who are competent enough and smart enough and powerful enough that they really can change things. And I think you're exactly right. Your analysis is perfect. We are faced with an ongoing fight that's not going to go away. That's a reality. We're going to see again and again that the news media and some elements of the bureaucracy are going to be actively opposed and trying to undermine and cripple a Trump presidency. And I think people have to understand that. I think Sean Spicer has to think about his entire job in the context of it being sort of a wartime assignment. He's not going to be a traditional press secretary because he's not in a traditional environment.
Don't you think that Trump really needs wartime consigliaries, Newt? I mean, this is war. You know, you have war against ISIS. We have war against incompetence in government. We have war against the sluggish economy and initiatives that are going to be pushed, I think will help the economy a lot. But this is all-out warfare on the domestic front, and I've never seen anything like this. There's a honeymoon period. There was 5 seconds of a honeymoon period, if that much.
Well, look, it can't be a honeymoon period because this isn't a marriage. This is a hostile takeover by the American people of their own capital. The capital doesn't want to be taken over. So the Capitol is going to fight every way it can against being taken over. And I think we have to recognize that this is an objective reality. You can't expect this to resemble anything we've seen in modern times because the scale of change that Trump represents is unlike certainly anything I've ever seen. I've been giving a series of speeches at Heritage outlining and preparing for a book called Understanding Trump. And I've been basically making the argument that this is a watershed moment which could end 84 years of the FDR New Deal majority. And think about if you are part of that majority, but let's say you're a left-wing lawyer who went to the Justice Department, gave up a chance at a huge law practice because you were going to do the right things using the power of the government. And now suddenly you've got this guy, mm-hmm. Who is a direct mortal threat to you. If you can, you're going to investigate him and you're going to drive him out of office.
What do you think the major pitfalls are facing Donald Trump in dealing with this reality of what he's going to face in the disruptive force he is against the establishment mindset, the entire politicized bureaucracy in Washington, D.C.? What are the things he really has to be careful about?
Okay, I think there are two really big challenges for a successful Trump presidency. The first is that they just can't quite recognize the level of hostility, and they keep thinking that this is somehow going to be normal and that they're misunderstood. They're not misunderstood. The other team understands they're mortal enemies and that if they're not careful, they're going to destroy them. Second, when they finally understand how big the hostility is, the bureaucrats, the lobbyists, the news media, et cetera, I'm very concerned that they not flinch, that you cannot back off. One of the first tests is going to be whether or not to put the embassy in Jerusalem. You know, Trump campaigned on it. He promised it. It is absolutely in the light of the United Nations resolution, the right thing to do. But every element of the American foreign policy establishment is going to pile on and say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And the question will be whether or not he in fact carries through or he gives in to Washington. He's going to have dozens of cases like this. I've argued the House and Senate Republicans have got to radically change the Congressional Budget Office because it'll never score a Trump program accurately. And then these are key moments. They don't sound like much to an outsider, but you know, Reagan changed history with one or two big events. One was allowing the Navy to fly across what Gaddafi had called the line of death in the Gulf of Sidra. And Reagan asked the Navy, can you do it? And I said, oh, yeah, the Libyan aircraft will just get shot down. So he said, go ahead and do it. Well, that shocked the Russians. It was so unlike Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few months later, there was a strike by the professional air traffic controllers. Reagan fired all 19,000. And we know from records that at that point, the Soviet Union stopped and said, whoa, this guy ain't Jimmy Carter. We better rethink all of our strategies. I think that's exactly the kind of moment that, I mean, Trump and his team have to reach a moment where the city stands up to them and they knock the city down and they take charge. And unless that happens, they can't possibly have the scale of change that they want.
I think what they want, the left, in conjunction with certain members of the compliant media, they want to put a trophy on the wall. They want one trophy to be able to show off to their dejected supporters, who are very bitter and very upset that they lost election. And it maybe it's Mike Flynn, maybe it's Rex Tillerson. I mean, I don't know who they think they're going to put up on the wall first, but what would you guess about that? Because you could see what, you know, David Ignatius has a column about Mike Flynn talked to the Russian ambassador. Who cares? As if people haven't talked to dignitaries, foreign dignitaries, before they've taken office before. That, I mean, I know for a fact that that's happened before. But they're making Mike Flynn out to be this monster over at the NSA already.
Well, look, I think clearly to the foreign policy establishment, they can't take on Mattis. They probably can't take on Tillerson. So Flynn becomes the target of choice. And because Flynn's written a book, he's been very aggressive about taking on Islamic supremacism. He's been very critical of the intelligence establishment. He's the logical guy for them to try to destroy. And I think the Trump administration, the entire team, has to design strategies for these kind of events. And you're going to see them happen again and again and again. Remember, Reagan spent the first 2 years of his administration with his labor secretary under indictment.
Mm-hmm. Ray Donovan.
Finally, Ray Donovan was finally declared totally innocent. He said, "How do I get my reputation back?"
You don't. That's the problem.
But that's right. So it was a deliberate strategy, I think, to go after people. And I think the Trump people have to understand this, that there'll be constant pushing and probing, whether it's at EPA by the Sierra Club, or it's over civil rights at the Justice Department or something. But somewhere they will be fighting to try to find a way to scar up and stop the administration. And that's, frankly, natural because, I mean, the truth is we won. The truth is Donald Trump is truly different. And if he were the old order, he is terrifying because he's actually going to change you. And everything you and I are happy about, they're terrified of.
We're talking to Newt Gingrich here on the Laura Ingraham Show. Newt, there was a narrative yesterday that Donald Trump's cabinet picks had contradicted him yesterday and the day before in a number of points. You know, Sessions saying, no, I wouldn't say that you can block all Muslims, and which Trump has already backed off from. Other comments from Pompeo saying, yes, he has high confidence that Russia attempted to muck around with our election. And so now that's the new meme, that there will be a runaway cabinet that basically runs the government as Trump, continues to have conversations with his old business buddies about, you know, cutting some deals to keep some companies in the United States. That's the new theme they're going with today.
Well, look, there's no question. This is a very strong cabinet with very strong personalities. And when they're asked their opinion, which they were in some of these hearings, they're going to say, look, this is how I see the world. And I thought,
Trump's tweet on that this morning.
Sean Spicer, mm-hmm. Sean Spicer did a very nice job of saying, look, he's picking people for their knowledge and their wisdom and their capabilities. He's not picking them to learn how to be parrots. You know, they're not supposed to get up in the morning and memorize the latest three things Donald Trump said. And I think there can be a healthy sense of nuance. It also depends on how you ask the question. You know, we went through this, I don't know if you remember, well, of course you remember. The last 2 weeks, we've had two great fears about Donald Trump and Russia. One fear was that he was going to sell out to Putin, that he's naive and doesn't understand. The other fear was he's going to start a nuclear arms race. And I kept saying to interviewers, okay, tell me which one I'm supposed to worry about. I mean, Am I worried about this guy who's a hawk who's going to start a nuclear arms race? Or am I worried about this guy who's a dove who's going to sell out to Putin? But don't tell me that in between selling out to Putin, he's starting a nuclear arms race, because I get very confused by your analysis. And that's kind of where we are.
I mean, I think part of what's that is actually really smart about what the Trump folks are doing is that they come off it sometimes as unpredictable. But that for our adversaries, that's really good. I mean, I love the fact that they had three hearings going on yesterday. The left was like trying to, okay, let's get Ben Carson on this. Let's get Tillerson on this. Pompeo. They couldn't even cover it all because there was so much going on at the same time. I love that. And I'm sure part of that was done on purpose. Schedule it all at the same time. Throw it all out there.
Yeah, no, a lot of it was done on purpose. You'll notice the other day, I think they had five hearings simultaneously plus the first Trump press conference in July. And you have to say to yourself, gee, do you think they might have put the press conference on the same day as the five hearings to flood the zone? And that's part of the Trump style. You know, Trump has this very powerful stylistic approach of flooding a zone so nobody else gets any air.
Hey, Newt, before we let you go, because we're almost out of time, do you think that the press should be able to camp out day after day in the White House? Should they be, or other administrations had them, in another building, Jackson Place, and brought over when there's something to report?
I think that they should be moved. I also think that people like Acosta, much like in a hockey game, Acosta ought to be benched for 30 days. CNN told somebody else, but he ain't coming back for 30 days. And I think that they ought to change the entire seating process so that there's a rotation to get the top 10 or 12 self-appointed stars have no automatic right to be the people who always ask the president questions.
I think it's a great point. Rotate the seats.
I would methodically change it.
Yeah, I would too. I think that it's the people's house. It's not the press's house. And I wouldn't even hold a press thing every day. I said, well, we'll call you in when we believe we have something to say. I mean, I don't think you have to have a press conference every day with these people. It's about them preening and puffing their chests out to the cameras. And I don't think anything good, for the most part, comes of it. I change all that.
You know, it would drive people crazy. But what Spicer could do is say, you know, if you'll send in on Facebook your questions, I'll pick the ones I really like, and then I'll do a Facebook Live answering them.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. This is why we love Newt.
We need to reassert a simple principle. The President of the United States is not a voyeur.
Ah, I love it. Newt Gingrich, thanks again. We'll take a break. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.
The average American uses electronics at least 12 hours a day. And while the constant use of technology helps people keep in touch, pay bills, navigate the road, and stay up to date on news, it does have a downside. Our data can be exposed to criminals who commit crimes such as credit card fraud and ID theft unless we take proper precautions. In fact, there are over 1 million consumer cybercrime victims every day. That's why I use Webroot Internet Security. Webroot is the most comprehensive cloud-based antivirus software available. It helps protect you from vicious viruses, malware, and phishing sites. It also protects all your favorite devices, including your PC, Mac, Android, and your iOS device. So stop the hackers in their tracks by utilizing Webroot Internet Security and sleep easier knowing that you're protected no matter where you access the Internet. Visit webroot.com/radio now to save 30% on your purchase of Webroot's Internet Security software. That's webroot.com/radio.